welcome. You're Gordon Street, the sequential panel surveying the landscape of Canadian comics, the state of the industry, and
oh, Canada.
Culture. Oh, Canada, yes.
I really wanted to get up and sing the national anthem. Any six-year-olds here?
No. So, my co-blogger, Brian, well,
hi.
And if you guys want to introduce each other, you can host each other.
This is Brian.
This is Kevin Boyd to my left.
Brad McKay to my right.
Brad McKay.
You have to turn on your mic.
It's on. Yeah, Brad McKay. I'm founder, co-director of the Deck Writer Awards for Canadian Cartooning. I'm a writer of the collective Doug Wright, which is being sold right behind us over the Toronto Corridor.
And my name is Kevin Boyd, and I'm the founder and co-executive director of the Jim Schuster Awards for Canadian comic book creators. And I also do cancer research, and I also work for Fan Expo, and do a bunch of
research.
Yeah. Comics is the cheering part of my life.
Now I'm going to say, something good with your life as opposed to being involved in comics. Something altruistic.
Sorry. And I guess I should just finish talking. I'm Salvi Sam, I'm a publisher of Sequential, and I'm a comic artist. So,
you're the only cartoonist here.
I'm the only cartoonist, yeah.
G here sends us apologies. G here was supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's smarter than all four of us, but he's on a research trip.
And we were going to have some other artists at Award Winners, but we're trying to get them in time.
That's fine. We're smart.
So, basically, we were just talking before, everyone's panicking, there's a recession, there are definitely issues with the parts of the market growing, contracting over the years, but it seemed to be, there was a consensus with you guys about the general health of the industry, or the Canadian industry, Canadian media.
I think it's the best ever. I boldly make a statement that it's the best ever. Any cartoonist, Mark Newey would agree, he's a good cartoonist, but nominated for awards before. No, I think the fact that there's, I think in the book trade, I was talking about this to somebody before, about graphic novels, is that the interest in graphic novels is probably the biggest it's been, I don't know, since they're invented, like 30, 40 years ago. Every, you know, chapters or you go, has a section, and they get into it. You talk to any sort of publisher right now, despite the recession, it's the one kind of niche market, which is growing, as opposed to other ones, which have kind of dropped off. I've been interested in involved with comics for 20-some-odd years, and it still blows me away to see there's tons of books that I've never read, you know, that even know existed, you know, in terms of Canadian comics. There's two, exclusively Canadian comics / cartooning awards, the Wrights and Schusters, which was like 5 years ago.
In English.
There are two French awards.
Two English language, I should say. There's the Belles and which are exclusively for Francophone comics. And they've been around longer than us.
Yes.
But we're about 20% French.
Yeah.
You guys have quite a few French awards.
You
actually quite a few of the winners last night.
I can understand
about 25%
French. But families from Montreal was
actually. The Schuster were actually last night, and quite a few of the winners actually ended up being.
Yes, actually, the Canadian publisher has Schuster Award went to the Country General, May 402. The colors of the year was French Canadian colors, named Francois Lampierre. And the cover artist is actually living in France, Nico Verbochon. And he worked for Dupuis, a French publisher, and the cover was for Hostile Volume 1.
Actually, a question occurs to me from going back a little ways. When the Doug Wright started up, there were definitely, just initially starting off as an English award. Are you guys still considering trying to bring in a parallel French thing, or is that still being put off?
We've talked about it extensively. We've contacted the people who run the other awards, and to me, I think the goal with us has always been to fill a niche.
Yeah.
And that niche really seems to be well filled by both of those.
Right.
I talked to Michelle Rabagliati for TCAF about that, and it was a great French Canadian cartoonist. And he was like, no, there's no need. You know, they've been around for a while, they feel perfect. Maybe they're not as high profile because they're just within Quebec. But to me personally, speaking on behalf of the Wrights at this point, I can't imagine doing that because of And we could do that. I mean, there's people there who would be willing to serve as advisors to help kind of curate that award. But, you know, I don't know. I think if it was a world where you didn't see any of it in English, you know, D&Q does a really good job of translating all this stuff. That'd be a little more.
That's an interesting record. I live in Montreal, and when all this sort of started coming up, I started asking around. I have a lot of friends in the French part of the comic scene, but we don't talk and shop all the time. So I checked with them. The general consensus is that they're much more concerned, actually, in trying to get their work overseas into other French markets. They like the idea of getting people in Canada to know, but in the end, they don't have necessarily a lot of interest in
it. I think a lot of the stuff, like I think Rebecca Abbey's stuff's a good example of that. I think a lot of that is more Quebec-focused stuff. It doesn't resonate as well in North America for whatever reason. I think it's fantastic. Any stuff he does, I think generally speaking, the stuff that's more kind of unique to French culture just doesn't. People don't connect with it. His latest book, which is about being in the Quebec countryside in a cottage, from what I've heard, didn't resonate the same way as the other stuff. Right?
Does Kevin want to comment on that?
You're doing such a great job.
Get off the stage. We've done a lot of thinking about it, I guess.
So, okay, looking forward to the question. I was talking last night with one of your peers, Eric McKinn. His feelings, we need more infrastructure, with the question of that being, what qualifies infrastructure, distribution, publishing, artists, and then, when you talk about two awards, sort of, some of the distinctive, one of the distinctive differences is kind of the profile versus become a bit more of a peer award, sort of a trade award.
Say peer award?
Peer award? Like the judges are open peers? Whereas you guys are definitely cultivating more literary profile, trying to attract attention from outside of it, the comics field more. And that seems to me like, on one level, like any awards are good, but have you guys gone for getting a classic little stamp on the book once you've gotten an award and trying to get that cachet? What else could we do in terms of like drawing in the losers? What could we do with the Schusters to do
stamps? I mean, I hate to sound crass about this, but I think a basic, somebody smarter than me said this, but I think a basic, regardless of what the award ceremony is, whether it's the Oscars or the People's Choice Awards, or the Doug Wright Awards, I mean, the bottom line is that people, you know, sell product.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's really, and if you lose track of that as being, you know, a degenerate event. I mean, the Oscars are like that, the Schusters are like that.
But in terms of, within the pool of readers of comics versus trying to bring people in who don't necessarily always read comics, which would be, okay, if you want to expand the market or build infrastructure, which would be like basically build the market, have more people looking for books, you can have more stories.
Well, we've always curated it and designed the Wright Awards as a book award, right?
Yeah.
At the very beginning. And that wasn't done, this is before, you know, we were both developing our issues. I remember meeting in the first year. And it just happened organically, right? This is just, it wasn't like some grand plan to have issues with the Wright Awards. But the way that happened is it was always, well, you know, it was more or less like that from the beginning. It was like, let's just do a book award because every workbook is kind of a wider audience. Because 5 years ago, graphic novels weren't as popular as they are now. Maybe it'd be different if we started now. But to me, I'm interested in all a lot of the similar stuff that, you know, some of the awards from more, you know, classic comic awards. Because, you know, if the Eisners have the same sort of thing where it's more of a pure award where you have, you know, things divided down into, you know, best artists or whatever. To me, in the end, it was just an easier thing for us to do in terms of focusing. Because then you can get people like Bob Ray or Adam Goyan or Don McKellar to sit on your jury because they're going to understand that that contained book. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that might be a problem in terms of getting a jury of people outside of comics to look and say, you know, best letter or best inkers they may not know. You know what I mean? And those are extremely important things as well. You know, I mean, the Eisners are the biggest comic book awards out there. I think you deal with a lot of that because that's important to,
Certainly, we wanted to raise awareness of who was out there in Canada working in comics and sort of approach the comic book market, the people that are buying and reading comics right now, get them interested and show them what we felt were the best, what our jury members felt were the best. Originally, we were a sort of a fan book. We wanted people to participate in it.
No, it's something else.
Anyway, we went for a different approach. I think you're
readers, you know, trying to get them to go to their retailer and ask for these books, yeah. Take a look, see what's going on.
Given those two perspectives, hypothetically, what else do you think could be done in terms of moving forward and trying to continue to expand your show?
Just in general or in terms of awards?
Yeah, no, in general.
Well, there are things that we're doing with the Schusters where we've got a list of active Canadian creators on the website. We're trying to push people to go look at the websites of our creators, you know, check out their web comics, you know, look for their books, things like that. We've got an ongoing list of current web comics. We're trying to get out there and create links. Just links within the industry itself, so make that infrastructure so that people can connect. So if you needed a writer for your project, here's a list of writers active in Canada, the areas that they live in.
Like so, resources or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And what about, definitely looking at others, I did a little survey a couple days ago just to see if they could get any information about better, worse. Also asked a cool question of people, like, what do you think defines Canadian comics? And a common theme came back, I find it kind of a funny question, sort of like, well, we have a Canadian passport, we live here or something. Yeah. But the common theme that came back is sort of a notion of smaller, tighter communities. And I was thinking about when I was at MoCA this year, talking to European publishers and small communities, and how they've actually cultured a lot of basically state-owned subsidized.
That'd be great. I mean, if the money was flowing, now's probably not the time to.
What's happening
now? I think Stephen Harper is a big Wolverine. So.
It's the first laugh of the panel, right? But I think this is a little off base, but you mentioned community. I think the best possible thing that any kind of awards event can do is one, help certain people and books or whatever stand out from the pack. I think if you look at the Eisner Awards and the Harvey Awards and the Ignatz Awards, which I think were just held last night in Bethesda, they're calling from a huge, you know, when you're going up against Chris Ware or somebody, you know, that's tough competition. So I think these two awards help give that more local national recognition to these people, you know. And I think as well it helps build community. Mark Glassman from Pages was on our jury a couple of years ago when we were at the award thing afterwards, and you know, he was getting all emotional. He was, you know, he was saying, what you're doing here is building community, and blah, blah. And I didn't think of it at the time, but it's true. You know, like the party afterwards stuff, you know, especially with TCAF, you know, people coming in, and that's a really important thing, I think, for people. Cartooning is a pretty solitary practice for a lot of people, so I think the opportunity to get out, whether it's, you know, at Toronto Comic Con or whatever, or today with the Schusters, or word on the street.
This is actually...
Or word on the street.
I was kind of lead you guys. Yeah. Like, and also, I'm thinking more... Because, I mean, yeah, okay, everyone knows, theoretically, that Harper's a little bit less eager to support this sort of art.
He hates comics. I
know. Well...
He thinks they're ruining our youth's minds.
But at the same time, you could theoretically do things on a local level, like perhaps more basically just using things like the awards as a platform to encourage people to do more of this kind of
thing. The stuff I've seen, the emails I get from just young kids, you know, like kids in high school who are coming up, you know, and they're all full of energy, and I'm doing this comic about how it sucks to be living in my parents' house. My dog's my only friend. Anyway, stuff like that. You're like, yeah, bring it on. Send it to me. You know, like, of course you're going to see all that stuff. And that's fantastic for me, is that, you know, I'm a proud Canadian and I'm a huge fan of comics, and that's been a huge, to be able to get comics regularly in the mail from people, you know, unsolicited, saying, hey, can you check this out? I mean, it's fantastic. And like I said, there's tons of comics I would have never read.
Do you guys ever think about, obviously, the stuff that entered the awards is really profile, but what about sort of doing? I don't know if I've ever seen you do. You ever post lists of these people sending you books, like what they sent you?
No, I'd love to do it though. It's just all a time thing, you know. We just need more manpower to get those. I'd love to redesign the website and have a blog going, and volunteers. No, it's clearly just, it's not, I mean, the people probably don't realize this. The Right Awards for, I think we do a fairly good job of presenting a pretty slick event. I think this year was pretty good. People assume we must have, you know, big bags with dollar signs on them sitting around our houses, like we're all paid, you know. Yeah, like Scrooge McDuck, you know. It's more like the Scrooge part, because really there isn't. I mean, I'm sure, unless I missed something, this is all, you know, this is stuff, this is all volunteer, everybody, from staff to, you know, everybody, G to me, it's all doing it for the sake of doing it, you know. Like, nobody's getting free anything, quite frankly, outside of free comics. Getting free and nothing.
You know, with the Schusters, I mean, we don't get paid to do what we do. We do it because we love the work, and we want to get out there and promote comics. That's what we love.
I wanted to ask Kevin, since you're also, besides doing the Schuster Awards, you work as a promoter for the Toronto Comic Con, what your take is on, since we're also talking about in the next panel, surveys and landscapes, if you can do, kind of walk us through your impressions of not just comics creators, but retailers and how that is going in the current economic climate sort of thing.
I mean, there's a bit of a shift in the direct market right now, and that's an increase towards trade paperbacks, hardcovers, graphic novels. Regular comics, the sales are going down a bit, except for those big event comics that we all love to hate. And, things are going on in the stores. I mean, at the shows, we're seeing a lot more discounted comics. Things are, like, people are interested. Attendance has gone way up at shows over the last year for some reason.
Is that all cosplay, or?
No, surprisingly, at our comics look face, we put on three smaller comic book centric shows, 2 1-day and 1 2-day fan appreciation event in the spring. And attendance has gone up. Those people are in there looking for comics. They're digging through the bins and looking for, you know, 50 cent comics, dollar comics, cheap graphic novels, whatever they get.
Conversation last night and thinking about Quebec market, which is an interesting market. It's a very small market, and the publishers that I work with there actually make great use of almost like print-on-demand small rendition press, where they can do runs of under 1,000. But the margins work for them in terms of they can get very cheap books out into the handful of stores that are there. It actually strikes me where everyone else is sort of moving away towards graphic novels. The small markets actually in a way could perhaps support bulk format comics of some kind. And in like a lot of the pamphlets now are actually nice slick, but yeah. A lot of the correct ones are on newspaper pulp, and black and white. Yeah. Got a nice glossy cover, but
yeah, that's just, well, that was we added a new award this year, the GDA Award for Canadian Self Publishers. We were amazed at the quality of work that was coming. We received 96 entries from people all across the country, from slick-looking trade paperbacks that you would think were published by Dark Horse or Image, one of the major publishers, right down to Little Staple, Netflix, nice color, things like that. Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say that the deep, not contrary to that, but I think a lot of the stuff we see, even if it's like poorly slapped together, I mean, some of the stuff is really gripping regardless of the slickness of it. Almost because of it.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we've seen that we've nominated has been kind of the examples is the roughness of it, and it's all part of the presentation. It's fantastic. Like Jason Kiefer, who I see
Jesse Jacobs, who you nominated this year, who won the GDA Award.
Yeah, no, Jesse Jacobs is the man. He's great. And he's just publishing. I mean, this stuff's pretty slick. He's publishing that out, you know, it's completely on its own. And that's what's great about that. Those are the things that the Jesse Jacobs and the Jason Kiefers and the Harvey Wims and these guys, these are the guys who, I mean, I think they've probably benefited more from it than from the rights and the Schuster attention than, say, DQ book or something like that. I think those guys really benefit, and I think even if they don't win an award, like I've always said that, I realized that the first couple of years, it's always like, you know, you go and then you go afterwards, and you've got people who are nominated and lost, and you're all kind of bummed out, but that's not, you know, like, it really, like, being nominated is the point, right? Because you get to use that, who am I thinking of? Maids of the Mist.
Caitlin Black.
I mean, there's a book that, you know, I saw very shortly before our nominating process, and it just blew me away. And that would have just, you know, I would have never seen that if somebody had pressed that in my hand. And she's, that's been huge for her. Emily Holden, she used the nomination as a, you know, way of landing a Canada Council grant, you know. It's really hardcore ways if you've got a business mind about it to capitalize, as you should, you know. I think it's fantastic. So if you serve a role there, then...
Well, okay, so my friend and man, I miss any meat. Stuff, but just it's a very affordable, cheap way to get them.
No, I agree. But I think
okay, so another level would be that there's this huge growth now with, in Canada. We've got Transition X, where you're seeing some of the first webcomics that are matching professional level and quality. And there's a lot of talk about that being the future for getting your work out, at least on an initial level.
Initial, sure.
What do you guys think?
How about webcomics?
Webcomics in general, like where you have the role they're playing within our scene and in general.
I read some. I find that I find like a lot of kind of GI. I think a lot of webcomics come from another culture. I think a lot of webcomics come from a non-comics culture somehow, and I sort of connect them in the same way. But there are a lot of good ones. You know, Kate Eaton is a webcomic gal who won Best Emerging Talent for Write Awards this year. You know, Ujin Gogo was a webcomic. No, I think it's fantastic stuff. I think, you know, the stuff that Cameron's doing over there is great. I think it's all fantastic stuff. I don't know, to me, I'm not, we've talked about this in the awards, about having a webcomics dedicated section, but I just don't, for a number of reasons, I just don't see it happening. So maybe it will when there's a greater kind of head of steam. You'd be handing out to the same person every year, same two people.
To small group, yeah.
To me, anyways. I know you guys have a webcomics thing, so I'm not trying to, I'm just saying, like,
I'd actually argue the opposite. There are a lot of great webcomics out there being done by Canadians. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, I mean, whatever it was. And now that I see, or you see, a lot of comics professionals deciding that they'd rather do their work first on the web and then have it collected later, rather than going to Marvel or DC or trying to sell them on a concept, because they don't want to self-publish. They would rather just do the work, get it out there. The old model used to be you did issues and you sold to comic shops. That's not working.
We don't want to sign their rights away either.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you could go the Dave Sim route and self-publish your own work.
Nobody wants to do that.
Except for Dave Sim. But
maybe not the full Dave Sim.
Yes.
Maybe the part where he has a word-made comic and they cut it off there.
Yes, Dave Sim won the award last night for Best Picture.
It's a great Inceptions video, by the way.
Yeah, we have to get that on the YouTube or something.
Dave's a great guy. Go on record, I think Dave is a slug.
And it was one of those things where I couldn't tell if he was being serious and not intentionally funny or just being intentionally funny.
Was it awkward?
It was awkward and funny.
I'm pretty sure he thought he was being funny.
I think so, yeah.
If I can add to what he was saying about webcomics, it's, to me, I think it's... I don't discriminate in terms of a medium. I think it's very interesting, but I think, like, to me, if we were to do a web, webcomics, to me, is like, it's equivalent of like a DIY fanzine thing, right? You know, it's just doing without that kind of staple and publish. You're just doing it on the web, and people can read it for free, and that's, I think it's fantastic. It's a great way to kind of build your brand, but to me, in terms of Write Awards, I think I don't see how, for us, how if we had an award, how it, generally speaking, these people have, they're very good in terms of creating your own community. I don't see how. It'd be a bit like trying to get a French Canadian award, French Canadian comics, but you know what I mean? Like, it's in and of itself, it's of its own kind, and kind of stepping in and saying. Plus, to me, I think the best stuff, I think the guys who are going in and being really professional about it, they want a book out of it eventually. I think that's, you know, I think Kate, I think Cameron, I think Matt, I think in the end they want that.
Cameron's actually been, he didn't even draw originally at High Res, and he's been really reluctant. Like, a lot of the Transition X guys are eager to do something like that. But when they started, it was actually really more of a whip thing. But it's interesting, Cameron is also one of the most well-known But this kind of segues also, like, there was, not exactly a controversy or anything, but there was some, an issue brought up by a fan of Transition Guys about the Schuster Awards kind of segregated.
Well, the issue he felt was, why weren't webcomic artists being considered the best artists, best cartoonist category? Why were we...
Or
exactly like Carl Pershaw was in there for artists, but, you know, arguably Carl Pershaw does a webcomic where he's the cartoonist. So if he was nominated, he would have been nominated for Schuster in the cartoonist category.
That being writer and artist.
Writer and artist, yeah. As opposed to Teen Titans or whatever, where he was working for a writer, or with a writer.
Do you feel like there is a bit of a still a firewall open? Like you're describing, since you see that there's no separate community.
No, I think it's all comics. Like I look at stuff. That's me. Our mandate is to help promote, you know, the cartoonists and sales and the whole nine yards. So to me, it's I think they do a good enough job as it is on their own. I just feel like it would be intruding. It would be like doubling up, and it would be kind of a I don't know, a wasted effort to some degree. I would love to have, if we expanded our website, we had a section with links to stuff. I mean, you guys do a great job of that on sequential. So, yeah, I mean, I just...
Schuster.
Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. You already said that, though. I'm just saying, you guys. So, yeah, so I just, you know, that's why. Does that explain it?
Pretty good. If you're saying
that... Any web cartoonists in the audience now or hating us? Or... Stuff that's extremely unique, like long scrolling panels and then down and then over. And it was really, that was really interesting to me because it was using the medium of the web, which is an endless panel, essentially, to do something really. I think most web comics are not like that. I think most web comics use a traditional, either a newspaper strip format or whatever, right? Where you have a weekly installment or a daily installment to go through, which is also really cool. But that other stuff, I'd really be interested to see. I think that would be a natural, that stuff really excites me. I don't see how it would.
Do you have anybody else who'd like to ask some questions?
Or an angry indictment?
Just one more question. Like, since I have you guys in front of me, what's your opinion on what makes the Canadian industry different from the American industry? Because I remember in the 40s, I'm not that old, but I mean, no, but I've read comics from that
era. Eternal.
Pardon?
You're eternal.
Thank you. They're very indistinguishable from their American cousins if they take place in like the Yukon or something.
Yeah.
Whereas from the 70s onward, we've been very different. Guys like Seth, Dave Sim, Chester Brown, Mark Oakley, people like that. Like, why do you think we have that difference here?
Well, one, I think we're smaller than the American industry. That's a big thing. I think there's Seth is a perfect example of somebody who I think was a quintessential Canadian cartoonist. People don't, I mean, it's so much a part of his style and what he does, but everything he does is linked into Canada. Even like books that he does that are wide, he works in, like his New York Times script or Sprite, he works in, like it's almost like Canadian jokes, you know, like little tiny things that only, he like riffs on Pierre Bergen's name, or something that only Canadians would get. Like he's so dedicated to it, he's immersed in it, you know, he's the type of guy who could easily move away to the States and whatever. I don't know, you could extend that to classic Canadian literature, you know, Farley Moe or whoever. These people have a connection with the land. I think Seth has a direct connection to Southern Ontario, he was born and raised, you know, Chester to some degree. I mean, Sarah, I mean, Dave Smith, I suppose, to some degree. I don't know what that is, exactly. But there is stuff that Michelle Rabagliati, sorry, there's an example of somebody who is distinctly Quebecois, you know what I mean? Almost to a fault, to where his comics are probably more successful abroad.
It'd be a good topic for a book.
It'd be a great topic.
If you wanted to do it, write it.
Yeah, well, it was with Guardians of the North and Invaders of the North, they touched on it. I don't think they touched on those themes as much.
I guess we're more nice to explore the individuals as opposed
to. Yeah, no, I think there is definitely a community and a sensibility, without a doubt.
Existing market there, whereas the, you know, Drawn and Quarterly and Unfirmed and those guys
kind of mainstream comics industry, because those are people who do it. You look at the actual business makeup, you've got Conundrum and EQ, and I think a few other smaller ones. I mean, those are the people who are, DQ publishes a lot of people, but they also publish a lot of, you know, the Jack Wright book is a perfect thing. Who else is going to have the balls to publish that? You know what I mean? Like, the wherewithal to, you know.
So you have companies of similar size, like Udon, or better with the names here. But again,
I'm Derek King.
Huh?
You're blanking.
There are a number of them that come and go on, Red 5.
There are Data Studio and Brian Holtz here from Prairie Beach. They usually, unfortunately, don't last too long. Genre of publications, they end up moving or being hired away to work for the larger companies of genre work. And this is where, I mean, what we do look at American comics done by Canadians. And we look to see what our Canadian artists are saying within the overall market. And a lot of them have individual voices. I mean, someone like Jeff Lemire, who is sort of an indie creator in a sense, he's a guest book, published by Top Shelf. That was working for DC Vertigo. The Nobody graphic novel this year, that was being sweet too as a series for Vertigo. That's a case where Canadian is finding a voice within the world market.
I was talking about this, basically he made the choice to try and take a swing at Vertigo because it's nice to get a paycheck every time you go page. And that would be one of the character traits missing in most of the game publishing business, where most of the back ends very little with any paper.
There's a lot of companies like that in the States, which are essentially, you know, they don't really pay you anything.
It's not such a distinctive Canadian trait as it is just a question of the trait of a small market.
Yeah. It's an economic thing. The business model there is you present them with something and you're willing to pay for the print run to put it out, and you split whatever, you know.
Darwin Cook is a great example of that with the Hunter graphic novel that just came out. He didn't get paid anything in advance. He's paid on the back end by sales of the book. And based on sales of the book, I think he's obviously going to do pretty well.
Who published the book?
IDW.
Yeah, well, that's the example I was thinking of, and that's more or less what they do.
Basically, like, yes.
Are and how to go through it. I've gone through that process before for the free precursor to the Wright book, and it's hellish. Like, it's really hard to go through. It's like secret handshakes, and you know, but it's very complicated. You really have to, like, if you ask any artist, a visual artist or something who relies on grants, you really have to become, you know, well, like some sort of magic. You have
to really get a cover letter. Yeah, the script project description / request.
He knows better than me.
I've done it a few times, and it's, that's the one. I don't know if this question so much, but it's hard in the literal labor sense as it is just nerve-wracking.
But the application is very odd.
Once you get through that, though, the nice thing is that all these submissions are juried by other cartoonists. So yeah. If you're a cartoonist applying for a grant, 4 or 5 other cartoonists are going to take a look at it and see if it's worth government money, sort of thing. Usually people who have already received an award or are respected. And some
Willow is telling me that the Ontario or the Toronto one is actually lumped in with the general literary. So there might be a lot of people on it, but it's a large group.
I was thinking of Canada.
Canada. A small group of peers, which is nice.
Yeah. So yeah.
But this is we were talking about this before, like getting trying to get more, basically get more involved in the comic publishing business in general.
More what? Sorry.
Which means get more support from the state in the comic business. And we've been, Canadian publishing has relied on it for a long time.
We need Jessica Brown here to comment on this.
Yes.
What would a libertarian cartoonist say about more? Actually, that is a good question.
Well, wait.
Jessica has received federal funding, and yet he's a libertarian. He doesn't believe in federal funding. Yes, gosh. He's at the libertarian booth right now, spreading his cockamamie philosophy. No, he did, and I think he said, if you're willing to give it to me, it's better it comes to me than some lesser cartoonist. I might be paraphrasing there, but that's more or less what he said. No, should there be more? Sure, of course not. Yeah, why not? I think that'd be fantastic. You know, I sympathize with Jessica. I mean, on the libertarian front, but you know.
Theoretically, sure, like a blog like Suspension could be more push, words could be more push, but I think perhaps a little more support from the bottom end. In the end, it's going to be constituents who make power and do things.
Yeah.
So this might also be one of those questions that comes up that needs to be turned back to the general audience readership.
I think the fraction of a cent I put towards, say, Louis Riel or something, you know, Jessica's book is money well spent, you know, and the same thing for
taxes.
In my taxes. Sorry, I paid more than a penny for it. In my taxes. Is all worth it compared to some of the stuff that, you know, maybe, you know, I don't think is money well spent. So, plus, it's never that much money. I mean, cartoonists, I think, are accustomed or prepared from a young age to be, to live in
kind of. I will never get rich.
Sorry, I don't want to point it. No, but I think it's true. I think, you know, I guess the exception would be Dave Sandberg being the exception, is that you get to a certain level. And the guys, you know, I'm sure Cameron Stewart does very well for himself.
Well, that's why you end up working for DC or Marvel.
Sure.
It's not obviously a way to get rich, but it's a very solid salary.
I did one job once for DC recently, and I wrote something for them, and they paid bang right on time.
Yes.
Like, within like 2 weeks, and they're based in New York City. And it was like, it was good money. It's better than newspapers and magazines. Was all about other Canadian cartoonists. It was set in Canada. hotly debate about that. But I think I'm comfortable with that. Hope Barson was another example. Hope Barson, which is Rami O'Malley's wife, who's a fine cartoonist in her own right. She, one of her books, another got nominated, was definitely in the mix, and Pale Horses. Might have been Pale Horses. I think did get a nomination. But the argument, she was actually awkward about being nominated too, because she was American, but she was a landed immigrant, and that was one of our rules. If you're a landed immigrant, you're married to somebody, then, then that was, that was okay.
So. The Schusters were all on the same lines. If you're an American or another from another country and you're living in Canada as a landed immigrant, permanent resident, and you're eligible, but if you move away, then you're no longer eligible. So Hope Larson lives in the States now. Her books would not be considered.
It's the same for the rights, yeah. Yeah, and she knows that. It is a lot of rights. Where's her mailing address?
Call border services.
No, but the Joe thing was a good example. And it's like, well, but he did finish the book when he was here, and it came out,
Was that a Canadian publisher?
From a Canadian publisher.
D&Q, yeah.
That's a D&Q publication, so it's the rare exception where an American cartoonist who's in this here for 10, 12 years. At one point, I had a rule that you had to pay taxes. If you paid Canadian taxes, you were Canadian, because that somehow seems to be a bonding. He did never. He lived below the radar.
Matt Wagner lived in Montreal for many years, under the radar. But when he was here, he would have been considered, but not at this
point. Thank you.
So, looking to wrap up.
Yeah. Any last comments?
Yes. What do you want? Maybe this is a good quick question for wrap up. What do you want people to take away from both of the your awards? Like, what was the message of the Wright Awards this year, and what was the message of the Schuster Awards last night? Start with Kevin.
Well, based on the winners of last night's Schuster Awards, I think that people should take a longer look at what's coming out of Quebec right now. A lot of great comments. I think that people should, we had a mainstream superhero artist win for the artist category, so I would say take a look at the work of David Finch. A lot of people, are cold, but he's very good. Dave Sim, interesting. He's breaking the boundaries in some forms, alienating a lot of people in others. But, he's definitely doing unique things with Glamorous and Unicos. So I think overall I would say take a look at who was nominated. Go to your local bookstore, your local comic store, take a look, see what you like, explore what's out there. There's a lot of great books.
Yeah, more or less the same for some of your awards in May, but essentially it's the same thing, which is actually the main message would be it's not all about the winners, it's a nice fancy trophy and everything, and in the end it really is about the group of people that have been selected out, kind of pulled out as a showcase for the best of that year, whether it's Best Emerging Talent or the Computers Award or the Best Book Award. You've got a group of about 15 there, and it's a group of kind of comics aficionados and experts who've chosen that as kind of like, oh, look at this stuff. So I think those are the things, that's the main message, is to go out and pick up any of those. Either get them from the library or buy them, hunt them down.
Library is actually a good way to do it, because if you've got your book registered, you are supporting your artist.
And that's another way, too, is you can request those books from the library as well. Library sales are a big part of the industry for D&Q. If you go to the library and request a certain book, then they'll order more copies. And then comics. I mean, I live in Ottawa, and the wealth of comics available to me at the library is fantastic.
One last slide there, please, just quick numbers. So I was looking up on our blog and checking, and so it was about probably about 1,000 people making comics, 100 or so making a living. There's about 200 and change comic shops in Canada. 300 or so, you think 350 diamond accounts. About a half a dozen publishers, and probably the main way that's going to all expand is if there are more readers to support the growing, because there's 1,000 artists is actually quite, that's gone up a lot since I started. So there are people getting into it, but the way it's just surveying the landscape is going well, it's growing. But to get more, we need more
creating a lot of there's so many great schools now that sponsor comic book creation and courses. So you have Mohawk, Max the Mutt, University of Alberta, that's amazing.
All right, thank you. coming out. This is thanks to Brad McKay for Hi.
Hi there, apparently.
And Kevin Boyd. Buy Brad's book.
Yeah, I'll sign it.
I don't know if the Schuster